Welcome to episode 9 of the Trail Runners Experience. My name is Daniel Ferrugia and I will be your host. On today's episode, we have a very special guest. It's Mr. Brendan Davies. Now, Brendan is an elite ultra runner. He is a coach. He's based in the Blue Mountains. He has a list of victories and course records longer than the average man's arm. He recently won the UTA in the Blue Mountains, and for the second time. He won it the first time when it was called the North Face. He is a very knowledgeable coach and an amazing competitor. He has been ranked in the top 10 in the world for 100 kilometers, I think, on more than one occasion. In 2016, he was the Australian Ultra Runner of the Year. And yeah, I'm very, very lucky to get a great chat with him today, and I can't wait to share it with you. So put your headphones on and put your running shoes on and let's go for a run and talk to Brendan Davies via Skype. Okay, so I'm sitting here with Brendan Davies from Up Coaching and the all-round nice guy and legendary trail runner and ultra runner. So welcome, Brendan.
Thanks, Daniel. I'm really happy to be on the show. Thanks for having me.
That's awesome, man. Actually, while I'm fresh in my mind, you just have recently done a few really interesting races that I wanted to ask you about, just launching straight in. I know you were recently just here in Adelaide, and you did something that was probably a little bit out of your normal comfort zone. Did 24-hour race. Tell me about that one.
Yeah, absolutely out of my comfort zone. Look, I guess a lot of people recognise my trail running and road running kind of achievements. But actually, you know, one of the biggest values that I've always held on to as an ultra runner is versatility, and I love running of all sorts. So, you know, I'll compete in anything that really is running and ultra running. So I guess it was one of those areas that I've never done, and it was a fresh challenge. And I've always kind of wanted to have a good crack at a 24-hour. I have tried previously once before, failed miserably on an athletics track in Campbelltown 2 years ago. My body was just so sore, I couldn't believe it. Yeah. And after doing the one in Adelaide, I just tip my hat at anyone that does those 24 hours regularly. I think they're the hardest of all ultra-running disciplines.
Yeah, I agree there.
Yeah, the way, I mean, I did it on a 2.2-kilometre circuit around Adelaide, so it took away a lot of that repetitiveness and the strain that your body, you know, we'll get on an athletics track doing 400 meter laps. So it wasn't even too bad, but just the lack of variety in the terrain and the mental side of things, like a lot of people say, oh, is it boring doing 2.2 kilometer circuits? No, I don't find that. I don't get that side of things. There's no mental boredom ever for me when I'm running. It's always a matter of going through my processes continually in my head and keeping motivated and is part of ultra running. So I don't find that, but just the way it impacts on your body, it's a new level. I've done similar timed races on the trail, but of course the trail offers so much more variety. You use so many more muscles and skills and you just don't get beaten up half as badly.
I think with the running on trails, you get that, as you say, like the variety of muscles. And so you might be running downhill, and so you're resting different muscle group at a different time, you know, like, so I think running on a track, and I've done some events myself on athletics track. I did a 50K, which I had a terrible run, but just running 50Ks on the track, it was so brutal on the body, because it's just so repetitive on the, there's no different, you know, the foot's falling the same way every time. But
there's no recovery time for those muscles. So
yeah, you did a stellar distance. I think you were just shy of 230, and I think in any other year that would have definitely got you on the podium. But you had some ridiculous a couple of ridiculous guys out there in front of you. So,
Now, look, I never went into it to really have that goal of winning or anything. It came off actually a 4-week holiday after UTA. I took a group of my athletes, or actually just athletes, over to Chamonix, and we did a trail running tour for 2 weeks. And it was pretty social, let's say. There was a lot of running, but there was no, you know, training kind of element. And then I had another 3 weeks after that, basically just, you know, cruising around Germany, Czech Republic, and just really letting my body recover from the massive campaign that, you know, it undergone up to UTA. So yeah. I kind of let myself go a bit. Lots of schnitzels, lots of beers, lots of, you know, just lazy days. And so, yeah, I mean, I wasn't in best shape, but, you know, I gave it a good crack. And look, the two guys that came first and second, John and Felix, absolutely outstanding. It was just a pleasure to be out there and to see them go through their thing, because that was a level of excellence that, you know, I can understand, you know, coming from setting myself those kind of same standards on the trail and the road. You know, they just gave me an exhibition of what 24-hour running is all about. And I took a lot away from that. I know I can do better, of course, but I have to now go and find the motivation and the drive, the desire to do another one, because I'm not sure if it's actually my cup of tea. But I'm glad I did it. I'm glad I experienced it. And I'm sure one day I'll get that itch again to do another one. But at the moment, I'm probably thinking I'm glad I did it and just leave it at that for a while.
Yeah, it's the nature of the sport, isn't it? You think you're done with it, with a race, and then, you know, it just creeps back in. I remember I ran my first marathon and I thought, oh, that's it. I'm never going to run another marathon, or I'm never going to run any further than that. You know, that was pretty hard. I'm pretty done. And then before you know it, you start doing ultra marathons and it just keeps going. I think it's part of the human condition.
Well, I guess I'm a little bit afraid of that as well, because I know what happens once you get past 24 hours. It just goes ridiculous, 48 hours and other stuff. I don't know whether I'm ready for that. One of the other motivations was I did want to get that Australian qualifying time, just because now the 100K on the roads is every 2 years, and I'm not getting any younger either, so I'm probably looking at doing those longer kind of things if I ever want to run at the highest level. So but saying that, unfortunately the World 24 Hours just got cancelled about 3 years ago, so there was not much point even qualifying, although there is the Asian Championships in December, but I won't be attending that.
Going to the 100K Championships, so when is that coming up?
So it's exactly a month away. It's in Croatia. So we have a team of 7 men and 7 females heading over. It's going to be a cracking championships from an Australian point of view. It's definitely our two strongest teams that I've been part of, and I've been part of the last 4. So, yeah, really looking forward to seeing how the Aussies go over there. We're training the house down at the moment, and it's really been so exciting to see how the 100K sport has, you know, has grown over the years. Like last World Championships, we had Kirsten Bull winning the World Championships. And
wow.
It was an opportunity missed by both, you know, just the general running press in Australia and also the ultra running press in Australia, because, yeah, a lot of people wouldn't even know that. But we have a world champion, a current world champion.
It's amazing. You know,
yeah, so, yeah, I mean, but we have much stronger all-round teams this year. So, yeah, it's really exciting.
I've said it a few times to a few people recently, 100K, it's like the new marathon in a sense. It's so much more of a race than it used to be, you know?
Absolutely. Yeah, just to give you some insight there, my first World Championships back in 2011, I ran 6:56 and finished 11th, and I ran 6:44, which, you know, it's only 11 minutes quicker. It doesn't seem that much, but it means a lot. I did that last World Championships and finished 10th. So the standard is getting stronger. You know, you just look at the Australian qualifying times now to make the Australian team. I made the made my first Australian 100K team off an eight-hour 100K that I ran. Now you need at least 7:30 just to even have a look.
Yeah, it's exceptionally fast, isn't it? The progression is so fast. What do you attribute the rise or the necessity for going faster to qualify? Do you think, is it better training, better nutrition, or a bit of everything?
Look, for me, I can just speak personally. It's just a level of depth and wanting to stay on top of my game. It's come off the boom of, you know, the general running boom in the last 5 years. You know, more participation across every type of running, and it filters up to the higher ultra running distances eventually. So as people conquer the marathon, and they might get a little bit inquisitive about 100Ks and trail running, especially some trail runners might cross over to 100K. So the level of depth has driven my training to a new level. But you know, I think generally it's just there's more knowledge out there about ultra running. There's more advice available. There's more coaches available to offer that, you know, sound advice. And so all those aspects that you mentioned, like nutrition and training, they're just being so. They're being covered so much more expertly, I guess, out there, and there's also a higher level of races out there as well, and more races, but also the competition in those races is higher. So yeah, you've got more opportunity to race the best.
Yeah, it's an exciting time for the sport, really, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right.
I often think about trail running going to like an Olympic level. Would you ever do you think that would be healthy for the sport, or would you like to represent at an Olympic level? I've often thought, because you've got the mountain biking, it would not be difficult to put a trail running event in the Olympic Games, you know.
Yeah, it's a really interesting discussion, that one, and there's kind of two sides to it. There's the traditionalists that like to hang on to trail running being quite a unique individual kind of sport, where it's not pigeonholed, you know, it's not made into like a kind of package, if you like. And I guess that's one thing, you know, there's mountain biking in the Olympics, but it's, you know, it's a purpose-built 5 kilometre course that you do over and over and over. It's not like you're doing an A to B cross-country course. And I think that's where a lot of trail runners might be a little bit a bit worried that it might take away that uniqueness and that quality of the sport.
Fair point.
I can't see why, with the technology available these days, the trail running can't hold on to that. You could hold an epic mountain race and have drones and dune buggies and things following runners and helicopters and that kind of thing. I think it would make a spectacular spectator sport. I guess the other aspect of it too is that trail running has never had a governing body as such. It's always been a bit more of a private enterprise driven sport. So once you give the control over to a governing body like, say, the IAAF, then they get to put their limitations on a lot of the aspects of the sport, and they start to compartmentalize it into a nice comfortable little scale of you know, that they want. So I mean, it's a sport that's kind of very pure, and you know, it's so rooted into our, you know, prehistoric past. Whether you want to add that commercialism, that level of you know, that kind of one size fits all kind of approach to the sport, I'm not sure whether it's the best thing for it, but there's
You've raised an excellent point there. It'd be a bit of a shame to like standardize it, as you say, you know, like,
that's right. Yeah.
So just going back a little bit, you did, I just wanted to ask you a bit about UTA. You did amazingly well at UTA this year, and it's your second win on that course, the back when it was North Face. What year was your North Face victory? Was
2013.
Yeah, so 5 years between drinks.
Yeah, it was nice to come back in 2018 and take it out again. It shows
still got it.
My longevity in the sport, I guess.
And your times, I don't know how different the course was, but there's only 2 minutes between the time that you got back then and the time you got this year. So you did a 9:16 at the UT at North Face. Correct me if I'm wrong. And then you did a 9:18 this year. That's pretty amazing.
Yeah, the course is the first half of the course is basically much the same. The trails covered in the course are much the same. It's just the order of things have swapped around a bit. And I think this year's course is slightly more difficult, and I kind of rank this year's result much better than my 2013 win, although that was a very special day. But I just think I'm that better a runner these days, and I think if I was to go back and do the old course, I'd probably get closer to breaking 9 hours on that course. This one is a little bit more difficult, and not obviously because the course is almost exactly the same, it's just the order of things. So, for example, in the old course, we used to go down a lot of the steps that we now go up, kind of thing. So, yeah, there's just little minutes there that kind of add up.
Yeah. I know in your preparation, and your wife is obviously a big, you've got a huge support crew, but I know your wife is a big part of it all. And in your race report that you wrote on your website, your wife, Nadine, she had some input. She wrote in because to show her, like, this, how from her perspective. Can you tell me a little bit about more how your wife has supported you in this?
Oh yeah, so she obviously has a unique perspective on things, and she sees me from a different angle. You know, she sees the obsessiveness of my training, and she sees how disciplined I am in my life, and she sees how tightly I can, you know, get involved in the jazz and the you know, the pre-race type of activity. So she really is can offer that level of support that in the way where she knows what's best for me in any certain time. So in the weeks leading up to the race, she really helped me relax by getting me away. We went away for a weekend, and I wasn't allowed to get on social media or you know, get involved in anything like that. So she pulls me back when I need to be. And she's also a psychologist herself in her day job. So we work through a few things that I wanted to carry into the race mentally, and so not to hold on to my usual type of race pattern. So just new ways of executing the race, new ways to mental things to go into the race with, I guess. And just helps me stay relaxed and
that's great. It was obviously a very emotional victory. I mean, it always is, I suppose, but was this any more, did it feel any more special finishing this year's race?
Oh yeah, definitely. It was a long campaign training wise that I invested a lot of hours into, and I took a lot of risks too, so to have that relief that the risks that I took, not during the race, more so in training, and also just that kind of pre-race stuff I went through with Nadine, and that all came off on the day. It was, I kind of had to put myself in a position during the race that I felt uncomfortable. It was unusual. It was different to how I usually approached a race. So for that work and cut to come off, really, it was really a special moment. Yeah. So it was definitely a team effort out there.
Yeah. It's running, ultra running is not just a whole body sport, it's a whole body and mind sport and spiritual, if you're into that. Like, I do think it does, it completely depletes you of every ounce of ego, I think. I don't know, everybody who has run an ultra has had a bad one at some point in their life. And I find that it's in when you get to that dark place, and I know you have no doubt been in the dark places.
Well.
Yeah, and I think those are the real, they really reveal the character, your true character. And did you have you had any experiences, maybe not just in UTA, but where you've had gone to the real dark place and how you've dug yourself out of it?
Oh, absolutely, plenty. You know, that's kind of like my usual race plan. It's to go in there and to give it everything I've got. And if I get to that dark place, I'll work myself out of it, and I'll finish the race, and I'll be brave and courageous, and I'll give it all I've got. But
So you embrace it.
embrace it, yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, in this in UTA, it was a little bit different. I really didn't want to. I didn't really didn't want to go there. I knew I prepared so well, and I didn't want to. Let my ego, like you're saying, carry me, get carried away with my ego, you know, and start
Yeah.
racing people too early. And so I really kind of went into it with a much more conservative approach, which worked. But yeah, I've been many times in those dark places where you just want to curl up and go away
Yeah.
and yeah, you just at the end of the day, you've put yourself in that position. So I always think you got to get yourself out of it, and that's the true test of character. It's you can DNF, or you can just get yourself out of it. And I've always chosen the latter because that's the nature of the sport.
I think that's very revealing because, I mean, a lot of people would look at as someone such as yourself, an elite athlete, and think that you never have the every race is sort of good, you know what I mean? Like they, so it is, it's definitely a real link between the amateur athlete and the elite athlete. That's something we all have in common. And I mean,
Yeah.
we're all human. And I always say that at the 90K point in any 100K race, there's not many people at the front or at the back that feel good, you know?
Everyone's suffering. It's
Yeah.
different scales of suffering, and it
Yeah.
looks different. I guess that's the thing that most people, like you're saying, they may not relate with an elite athlete. At the top front end of the field, because they're looking a lot more comfortable, but they actually are pretty much hurting the same way as anyone else is. It's just that they're, obviously able to function a little bit better, I guess, under that suffering.
Well, that's what you train to. I mean, obviously, and you've got that. You've got an in-house psychologist who can help you through that kind of stuff as well.
Yeah, look, I've suffered badly in lots and lots of races, and 3 weeks before UTA, I did UTMF in Japan, and I basically walked the last 20 kilometers and passed by 10 to 15 people. And
Oh, really?
it was a pretty dark kind of place to be in those last 20 Ks. Your body is basically busted, and you've got like 800 meter scrambly climbs ahead of you to tackle before the finish line. It's not a nice place to be. Knowing that this is going to take me at least 90 minutes just to go this kind of 5 kilometers or something, it's just
Yeah, that's
it's
hard.
sort of humbling, and you just got to take it back to basics and go, look, all I've got to do is put one foot in front of the other and continue, and that's going to get me to the finish line.
That's it, man. That's amazing. Do you ever have a Danny Glover moment, like in Lethal Weapon, when he always says, "I'm too old for this shit"? Do you ever have those moments?
I think I had one the other day on a training run.
Yeah. Yeah,
All
same.
the time. When things don't go to plan, well, not to plan, but when things, fall apart a little bit, it's always, why am I doing this? Why? But yeah, it's only
Yeah.
temporary, those thoughts.
That's it. Well, I think that part is part of the mental discipline, isn't it? And being able to know and recognize those negative thoughts. I think it's such a big part of the sport. So yeah, it's fascinating. I was just going to ask you a little bit about, I mean, you've got such a huge, you've got a huge back catalogue of races that you've done, and you've done exceptionally well in. And I was flicking through your website and looking at all your race reports, and you've documented so many of them so well, which I think is it's really insightful. You know, we learn a lot. One of them that popped up was the Buffalo Stampede from a few years ago, which is a race that I did this year. And yeah, it's a brutal race.
I haven't been so good with the race reports over the last kind of 3 or 4 years. But earlier on, I did a lot more documentation. But yeah, that Buffalo, I've only done that once. I also did the 26 one year as well. That's a very tough event. There's a lot of skills required in that event that are very difficult to train for in Australia. It's much more European kind of race. Just a lot more reliance on hiking speed and not as much on continuous running.
Yeah.
What
would you say as an athlete or as a runner, what is your probably obviously – I'd say not weakness. What's your area that would you like to improve on, or that you're always trying to improve on?
It's a good question. I always try and challenge my weaknesses. So, I obviously work on my strengths, but I work on my weaknesses even more. And then when it's leading into a race that is not like in my sweet spot, then I'll work even harder on those. Everyone has their own kind of natural sweet spot for races. Mine is more running races. So anything that is terrain that's runnable.
Yep.
So I've done really well at like Comrades and Western States and UTA, because on the majority you can run the entire course. If you're fit enough and you've ticked all the boxes in your strength and conditioning, and it's that kind of event. The more mountainy events, the ones that require a lot of hiking and a lot of technical prowess, they're kind of like the ones I've never really tested myself too often on. I've done UTMF like 4 times, and that's a proper mountain course, although there is a lot. It's a funny course, actually, because there's massive climbs and descents that are just ridiculous in that. But in between the mountains, it's all pretty flat running. So
yeah, right.
It's a funny race because it's not all in the mountains, say, like UTMB. It's got some vicious climbs and descents in it, but there's a lot of running in it as well. So I've done that 4 times, and I've done really well twice, like top five. I got top five 1 year, and that race has 10,000 metres of elevation loss and gain in it. I guess it would be something like UTMB or one of those real technical mountainy races in Europe. That's the kind of frontier I've never really tested myself on. To do that, it would require like a lot of creativity in my training and a lot less training, different training to what I tend to do, which is a lot of flat speed based running as well. That's not really a requirement of a race like that, so you'd have to get out on the trails, do lots of hiking and power based kind of training. That would be like the final frontier for me. I don't know. I'm kind of thinking in the back of my mind, I'll do UTMB 1 year and I'll train really well for it and see how I go.
Yeah, I think I'm friends with one of your athletes that you coach, Andrew Hoff, who's heading over to UTMB very soon. He's done exceptionally well under your guidance. I mean, the guy is just a natural. He's just a solid athlete all around, I think, the UTMB is coming up in a couple of weeks' time? I'm not even sure.
Yeah, a couple of weeks. So, I mean, Andrew's a really good example of someone that we've had to switch his training, around quite a lot. So, he's obviously fast, so we're not leaving that side of his training too. We're maintaining that, but we've also added a lot more climbing kind of sessions and power based hiking sessions with weight vest and pole and lots of downhill sessions to build that conditioning into his body. So really equally kind of trying to train that side of things as well. And that's kind of like what those races over there require. The climbs aren't half an hour. They're like, some of them are 90 minutes. So,
yeah. That's extreme climbing. Yeah. So no, I've seen him, he's doing well. I see him out on the trails, and he's he looks strong, and he's moving well. He's always been quite fast, and so, but yeah. So, everyone in South Australia is cheering for him. So that brings me to up coaching. So you're a accomplished coach, and you've been doing that for a number of years as well. And so tell me about the business and what you get out of it.
Oh, I get a lot of satisfaction seeing, athletes achieve across the entire spectrum, whether they're at the front or the back or the middle of the pack. It's an amazing feeling to have an input into their development. I personally coach, athletes across the whole spectrum. I just don't pigeonhole myself into, say, the more top-end people, although I tend to take those athletes because of my level of experience gives me a lot more insight than into that kind of level that is required and all the other little aspects that come with it away from the training aspect. But yeah, so it's really cool. I've got like a handful of coaches all around Australia that kind of work for me, and I'm able then to offer that more individualized approach for athletes that inquire. So
yeah,
if they say are doing a race in Europe, then I've got some great coaches with lots of experience doing those type of races, and I've got, like, say, Jonathan Warswick, who's been on the scene a long time. He's got extensive ultra trail history, and he's a little bit more senior, so I can give athletes that require that level of support to him. And then I've got, like, say, Dave Kennedy in WA, who's really a 24-hour specialist, so 24-hour runners I can filter through to him. And then I've got, like, some local coaches that live around here. That's, Blue Mountains is more the base, I guess. So we do local sessions for those athletes as well.
Yeah. Where was I recently? I was out in Broken Hill, and during the school holidays, my wife's family's in Broken Hill, and they went and did the local park run there, and there was one of your athletes was there, actually.
That's great.
I forget her name, but she's probably in her, maybe in her 50s, and she just, I didn't see until I looked at my result and it said that she was with Up Coaching, and I'm like, oh, there you go.
I think there's people all around Australia. That's the beauty of the online kind of based programs you can get now, that I coach people that are in New Zealand even, and a guy in Turkey as well. So it's really a cool job, because you can kind of take it anywhere and do it anywhere, and you don't need to be necessarily in one place to do it.
No, it's fantastic. Look, I as a coach myself, I obviously am not operating on the level that you are, but it's a smaller operation. But I live, at the foot in the Adelaide foothills, and so we do a lot of training on the trails here. And you've got they're not as the hills are not as big as over where you are, but it's still really great for trail running. And trail running has really boomed here in Adelaide. Recent years, and I get a similar sort of satisfaction. I have a fairly small number of athletes, and it's just me doing it at the moment. But trail running, there's not been a great deal of trail running coaches out there until recently. It's becoming, because I think people are starting to see that it requires it's a different discipline to just flat road running or something like that. So you have any insights that you'd like to share, maybe about people, without giving away any trade secrets, obviously, but people who say, who are listening to this and think, gee, I really like the idea of moving from road to trail, but they sort of often don't know where to start. Like, I'm thinking like beginner runners, because I remember the first time I ran a trail race, I absolutely felt like I got run over by a bus. I just, every part of me hurt in ways that I'd never hurt before. It was just so much, just the, I think the change in terrain and the steepness of the hills. Like, what would you pass on?
Oh, look, I will say one thing. Don't pigeonhole yourself into being one sort of runner. So if you love the trails and you consider yourself mainly a trail runner, that's great. But don't neglect training on different surfaces still, because there's a lot to gain out of doing track sessions. There's a lot to gain out of doing tempo sessions on the road still. You can do a lot of your training on the trails too, but if you did all your training on the trails, you probably wouldn't become the best trail runner you can be. So my operation here, we offer all the variety of training. We do track training every Thursday because it doesn't matter what sort of runner you are, trail, track, road, whatever. You need to get fit, and you need to develop your VO2, and you need to develop your lactic threshold. And the only really way you can do that well, I believe, is in a really kind of structured environment where you can control things. That's probably a little bit of my philosophy of a coach, because you can, of course, replicate stuff on the trails, but for me, it's not as effective, and you definitely can't do group training as well on a trail. And one of the reasons I do track training is for that group dynamic, the group training effect, of running with other people of similar abilities, to pushing yourself a little bit more each week to run with that person that you've been trying to stick with, and that sort of thing. So, yeah, don't ever just pigeonhole yourself into one category of runner. And that's the same for road runners as well. Like, get out on the trails and run trails for the very reasons that you spoke about. It's going to develop all those other muscles. It's going to give you that all-round strength, and it's going to help you, be a bit more resistant to injury. Because if you're running on the road all the time, all those repetitive strain injuries, all those classic running injuries, ITB and tendonitis, that's what happens when you're just constantly just pounding, pounding, pounding the same muscles over and over. So yeah, it's all, for me, it's all about variety. But having those controlled sessions as well, where you're actually, setting a goal for the session. You're setting a, this is the idea of this session. We are today going to work on, building up our pure speed, our neuromuscular speed, or we might do long reps another time. All right, we are now purely just working on building our VO2 today. So it's always about variety for me, and that's my advice to anyone.
Yeah, no, that's some really solid advice. I think anyone listening should be taking notes. It's
It might be the icing on the cake for a lot of people as well. So yeah, if you're more recreationally based, look, your long runs, they're obviously the most important element of your week. But same applies. Don't just always get stuck into running the same pace all the time. Try and mix it up.
I think everyone has the ability to get faster, and it does take a bit of structure, So that's, I mean, that's always been my philosophy too. And I, like, with the long runs, I couldn't agree more. I call them the backbone. But no, that's fantastic. I was going to ask you very quickly about your current sponsors. So you've got a few interesting sponsors, Innovate and Hammer, and who else have you got on board at the moment?
Look, that's the Innovate have been my main sponsors for nearly 10 years now, so I've never worn any other shoes on the trail, and I also wear their road running range of shoes. I've always been happy with that more minimalist kind of approach to running shoes, so they suit fine. And I mean, that company's grown over the years I've been part of them. So when they first were involved with my running, with shoes only, but now it's gone into apparels and packs and everything like that. So yeah, it's been a real blessing for me over the years having their support. Hammer as well. Yeah, all these little gels and things, they all add up over the years. So having that level of support, it's wonderful, because nutrition is such an important part of ultra running and training as
Absolutely.
Well. So,
yeah.
I mean, they've been really good to me as well for almost 10 years. They've been my main two. And then, you know, I've had a few smaller sponsorships. So, and it all adds up, and I'm always grateful for the level of support, you know. So socks, I've recently just started wearing Labent socks, and one of the reasons I actually agreed with them is that they're thermals, they're like base layers. I wear nothing else in winter up here in the mountains because it is cold. So yeah, they make really good base layers and mid layer thermals. And the only other kind of sponsor is Aerodax, you know. The undergarments for men in running, yeah, they're just really comfortable underwear.
So good. Stops the chafing.
And I mean, a few other little things as well. I've got a relationship with the local running shop here, Blue Mountains Running Company. They've been really great to me as well. I don't look for much.
They come to you. Yeah. Yeah, that's awesome, man. Like, obviously, with your, I think you give a lot to the, I think, like I said before, you give a lot to the running community in terms of you're a coach, which you're helping people. And I know that's a business, but you're also, you're generous with your time. And you've got that huge back catalogue of race reports. You should keep doing them, man, because I swear I learned a lot from reading your race reports. They're really, I know they're time consuming, and they're bloody great, you know. It's a good, people love to, I think listening to things like podcasts and watching videos are really good, but there's something to be said just for reading something, you know.
I agree, yeah. It's like you say, I just wish I had the time to do it. Maybe one day I'll write a book or something. Once I retire from competitive running, that's my standard answer when anyone says, when are you going to do this? When I retire. Because training literally takes at least 2 hours out of every day. So
it's huge,
You know, so that's a lot of time. Just and then I've got to work on top of that. So then of course the training is tiring. So I need to sleep and all that kind of thing.
So as important for recovery, eh? Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely.
No. Retirement. Speaking of retirement, you're not retiring anytime soon, are you?
Goes that thought. I really have achieved just about everything I have, but then something else will come along. So last June, Steve Way from Great Britain came third in Comrades, and I never thought I'd go back to Comrades until I saw what he did there. And he's 44 and I'm 41, so I just look at that and go, I can't use age as an excuse. whether I've got the desire to train at that level, there's a few things I still want to cross off the list, you know. And I came 19th in Comrades, but I really want to give that top 10 another crack. And
yeah, right.
my race was on the downhill, so that's in 2020. So I think that's going to be my next massive kind of campaign. It's going to be Comrades 2020 on the down course as well again, and see if I can go top 10 there, and then maybe UTMB as well, like I mentioned earlier. And that's about it. I think, you know, I've achieved just about everything else I feel like, you know, I'm happy with. Top 10, the 100K World Champs was good enough last time, so I feel like I've podiumed enough in Australia and that kind of, nothing else I really want to tick off there. Western States, I got top 10 there, so I'd love to go back and give it another crack, but whether it's practical or not to do, I don't know. I think from competitive running, there's only probably one or two big builds and campaigns left in me.
Yeah.
And I'll probably just enjoy the sport and still be competitive in age group stuff, but I'm not going to do the level of training that's going to be required to like win events and stuff. That can't go on forever. So it's getting closer anyway, but I'm not quite ready just yet.
Yeah, good. Yeah, you've got. I guess you'll know when you're ready. You won't have to and ah about it. You'll just definitely be. Yeah, I'm done. But
that's right. Yeah.
And as long as you're still enjoying it and the body's holding up, there's why stop? You know, like.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I get a lot of satisfaction still out of running races and going well in. I learn a lot from that process as a coach as well that I'm able to pass on. So, I'm really inspired by masters athletes. I'll still kind of compete at that level, but in the open level, I guess, you know, no one can do that forever. So, yeah.
Yeah, that's absolutely awesome, man. You've been an inspiration to me because I read all your stuff. I, you know, follow you and I, you know, UTA this year, I felt like I was there, you know, because you're, you know, I'm 39, so I'm only a couple of years behind you. But I mean, I'm obviously I'm an amateur, but, you know, at the same time, there's that desire to push, you know, like I like to think I've still got my best, a couple more really good years of running in front of me, you know, before I go in, you know. I'd probably say I'm a reasonable amateur, you know.
That's a really important thing to hold on to because I'm always held on to that. I feel like there's still my best run to come. I really do. I mean, I had an awesome run at UTA this year, but there was always also little bits here and there where I go, well, I could have done that better. I could have prepared a little bit better in this area.
Yeah.
So always that thought in my mind and it keeps me driven. But man, look, age is not a barrier at all. It's a sport where you can be competitive in well into your 30s and 40s and longer. You just look at some of the women around the world that are winning these ultra trail races. They're in their 40s and it's a lot of it is experience based. So the more experience you get under the belt, the better ultra runner you become. The physical benefits of being young and youthful aren't always great also because you have that exuberance, you have that energy and that maybe recklessness is the wrong word, but you just don't have that understanding of
your body.
Contentment in your mind too. Like you got to control your mind in ultra running. So yeah, I mean, I think it is a sport that you can achieve well into your later years in.
Absolutely. Look, you see it all the time. You can never judge a book by its cover out on the trails or in ultra running, you know. See some old bloke tearing past me, you know. He looks like, you know, I see it all the time in races, you know, so I can't judge. I'm going to have to let you go here in a minute, my friend. Before I finish, I've got something that I do with all my guests, and we finish with a fast five.
So okay.
Five questions, and they're just short, and it's the same five questions I ask everybody. So we'll see how we go with them, hey? All right, you ready?
Yes.
Okay, good. So question one, what is your favorite running film?
Ooh, YouTube Yannis Kuros movie, and it's a little YouTube movie. It might sound a bit crazy, but there's just a couple of little moments in that film that are just really, really insightful, and they take me to that level of understanding of ultra running that only ultra runners would get.
Excellent.
So
I'm gonna YouTube that.
It's ridiculously good, yeah.
Yeah, he was a beast. Question two. This is probably an easy one for you. Roads or trails?
Oh, it's a hard one, actually, because I work in different phases. So the first half of this year was obviously trail, but the whole second half of this year is road, and that's generally how I've done it all through my career. So I'd have to say it's split evenly down the middle.
Ooh, 50-50. That's the first 50-50 I've had.
I can get sick of trail running. Don't worry. It's too much of a good thing sometimes.
Yeah, actually, I'm doing a lot of road running myself at the moment, and it actually feels quite nice to be out and just to be able to hold a pace, a consistent pace for a while.
Yeah.
Yeah, question three. Oh, it's not a question. I want you to finish this sentence. Running gives me
happiness.
Good.
I guess in a very one-word, simple answer, that's what it comes down to.
That's cool. No, that's a good answer. As good as any. Question four, you've kind of already answered, but I'll ask it again. What is your bucket list race?
Ooh, very lucky to have done a lot of them.
Yeah.
And the only one I probably would love to do that I haven't is UTMB. And I feel like that's the always at the top of the bucket list, if you like. Yeah.
Yeah.
There's plenty of others I want to do as well, mind you, but that one's always at the top.
That's pretty prestigious, that one, too.
So, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. And the question five, you're on the last kilometer. Your favorite post-race treat? What's the first thing you put in your mouth when you're finished?
like a Gatorade or something, but I wouldn't call that a treat.
No.
Probably like once I'm done and recovered enough, I'll go out and have a pizza and a beer. I think that's pretty much a treat for me. I don't get to do it too often. So after the race, I try not to reward myself with food too often either, because it's not the greatest habit to get into. But after a big, big race, nothing beats a pizza and a beer.
No, that's a fair point. I'll go pizza myself. But definitely. But that's really good answers, man. All right. Well, thank you for coming onto the podcast. It's been a pleasure to talk to you, man. And everybody will absolutely enjoy listening to you and following you in your upcoming race. So which the 100K is in a month, did you say?
Yeah, so it's on the 8th of September in Croatia.
Yeah.
So
you'd be right up there. You'd be in a pretty heavy training phase at the moment, wouldn't you? So
I'm just like finishing off my big loading post my holiday kind of relax. So I've loaded up again, and I'm into 200 kilometer weeks at the moment. So
yeah, wow.
It'll start to taper down from here, and I'll add a little bit more faster kind of stuff. But yeah, so. Also, the week after as well, for some ridiculous reason, and something I've always kind of done in my career, is I'm doing the Sydney Marathon on the 15th or the 16th of September.
Oh, wow. Running
for New South Wales that day. So we'll see how I go in that. That could be an interesting one.
Your legs are holding up.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm sure you'll do well.
Thank you.
Yeah, no, that's great. That was my first ever marathon, was the Sydney Marathon. So
was mine too. What year?
2012.
Mate, that might have been the same year I did it too.
Really?
It was either 2011 or 2012. That was my first marathon. I did 3:13.
Oh, really?
Yeah, what time did you do it?
I was like 3:30.
Oh, wow. Yeah,
That's pretty weird.
I can't remember off the top of my head, but yeah, it was definitely my first road marathon. So yeah.
I've done significantly more trail ultras than I have marathons. I've only, amazingly, it's almost, I don't know if I'm proud of this or ashamed of it, but I've only ever run two road marathons in my life. But I've lost count of how many ultras I've done. So it's just funny. Once I fell in love with the trails, I haven't gone back.
Yeah. I've definitely done more ultras and marathons in my life too. I've always managed to fit in two or three road marathons a year. Just one of those things I like to do.
Yeah. Oh, well, that's awesome, man. Well, maybe I'd like to go back and do the Sydney Marathon again in the next year or two. I made all the rookie mistakes when I did it my first time. Went too fast, didn't drink enough, But no, it was good. It's a beautiful course.
Changed a lot since then. Thankfully, it's now a little bit more scenic and less hilly. So, should I come along and give it another crack?
I will soon. Okay, buddy, I will let you go. We'll say goodbye on the podcast first, okay? So, Brendan Davies, I'll talk to you again soon.
Thanks, Daniel. Thanks for having me on your show.
It's all right. Hey, I hope you really enjoyed today's episode of the Trail Runners Experience. It was so interesting for me to talk to a runner of Brendan's caliber and experience, and also just to get his coaching insights. Don't forget, if you really are enjoying these episodes, share them with your friends, tell everybody. It costs nothing for you to listen, and it would cost you nothing just to share it, but it would mean the world to me. Okay, guys, I look forward to the next couple of episodes. I've got some really interesting guests coming up. All right, have a great weekend. Bye-bye.